I knew you'd come.
Oh, man, baby. Want to wrestle?
We've got two words for ya!
Glorious! No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious.
You are listening to Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast with your host, the Supreme Dream, and the Irish Nightmare.
We are back. It is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, and welcome to another episode. Today we are going to, we're just going to do whatever the hell we want to do. No more schedules, no more prepping, we're just going to talk pure wrestling, and whatever comes to our head, that's what we're doing.
I blame the Nuclear Heat Podcast, they're fucking bad influences on us. We couldn't stick to a script that we loosely put together before that, and now we just fucking gave up.
Yep.
See what? We turned into quitters.
Yeah, pretty much.
Damn it.
Yep. So, there's a couple things I want to touch on right away. A couple little pieces of breaking news in professional wrestling. One is Madison Rayne, or a.k.a. Ashley Rayne in the Mae Young Classic, has signed a contract with Ring of Honor Wrestling. So, she will be returning to Madison Rayne. Because Ashley Rayne is the name that WWE gave her, but she will be now wrestling for Ring of Honor.
Ashley Rayne, that's so creative. What the fuck did they think of that?
Yeah, just I don't know if that's part of her real name or her middle name or what, but I mean, good for her. I think she can really contribute to that roster of women over on Ring of Honor. They
Out
need
of
more.
All the women's divisions in each promotion, I think Ring of Honor's is kind of the weakest almost.
Yeah, I agree.
Or the less highlighted, I should say.
I would and not only that, less highlighted and probably least talked about.
Yeah.
For sure.
They needed like that. They had it with Emma / Tennille Dashwood.
Yes.
They had that big name, but didn't really surround it well enough.
No, I didn't build it like they probably should have.
Yeah, they had the right intentions. I just think execution was a little iffy.
Another thing I wanted to, break on our show is Rey Mysterio has reportedly re-signed with the WWE on a 2-year contract. So we could be seeing Rey Mysterio very soon.
Now, I put this out last night on the Twitterverse.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. Rey Mysterio comes back. Now you have a whole other era of people for him to face and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
I think the better move, I mean, you lose out on the upfront money aspect of it, of the matches, the marquee matchups you can have with Mysterio and insert name here. Mm-hmm. But if he were to go to 205 and become the face or help, maybe not the face, but help elevate it to what it could be. Like, it has the potential to be. Now you have some people showing up, some of the 205 Live guys showing up on Raw. You're starting to get some exposure. Have Rey come back, and then that really skyrockets. That's a hell of a lot better than having Enzo as the face of your division.
Well, I mean, I think anyone on 205 Live is better than having Enzo.
Yes, but you're talking about they put the belt on Enzo to try and elevate the division with one person, but you got to think he couldn't do it.
And he couldn't do it wrestling because he just wasn't there. I mean, he could do it in mic. He was good on the mic, but
yeah, but they didn't need mic work.
That's the point. Yeah,
they weren't mic work focused. He could destroy everyone on the mic.
Yeah,
but he couldn't do shit in the ring.
Yes.
So now you focus more on the in ring ability and throw in some promo work and whatnot with. Mm-hmm. So the guys that can do it, but having Rey Mysterio there, that immediately elevates that brand.
And legitimizes it as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, not that it needs it, but it just helps at that point.
And you still get your good matchups. You get the pure wrestling matchups that you used to see from Rey Mysterio back when he was in WCW and the Luchador division.
Yeah. I think he's probably, and we've said this before, he's in the best shape of his life, period. Than we've ever seen him.
And people want to see Rey against Rollins. People want to see Rey against Styles. People want to see Rey against Daniel Bryan. And maybe a few others.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get that match once. And that's it. You don't need to see it again. You could have quality match after quality match after, and actually develop more storyline within the 205. This is like, this would be like his show.
Mm-hmm. It really would.
And it would elevate everyone else around them, because once they get in the ring with them and they can see what both of them can do, and then if you beat them, it's almost like the boss of a video game. Like, you have to wrestle all these guys, and then you get to the boss, which is Rey Mysterio.
I like it. Well, and speaking of 205 Live, that's another thing I wanted to talk about. And we literally last week, when we did the podcast with Nuclear Heat...
If it's literal, that means it's true.
...talked about this option of how to bring 205 Live, which I've been talking about months on end now. But 205 Live has now been moved to Thursdays.
Wednesdays.
I'm thinking of my scenario, not their scenario. Wednesdays at 7, right before NXT, which I think is perfect.
They took one step in your handbook of steps.
Yeah.
Now they just need to eliminate the massive crowd that they get for Raw and SmackDown and move it to a smaller crowd and get the reactions that you should get.
Yep.
Because you're getting the casuals as opposed to smaller crowds, smaller venues. You're getting the diehards.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, I think this is a great move for 205 Live. It's a move in the right direction.
Yep.
Like a place like Full Sail or something like that is premier for 205 Live. It's exactly what it needs. And I actually, to be honest, I think I'm going to start watching it more now because of that.
We got, right now it's 3 hours. It's back to back to back. You got 205 Live, NXT, Mae Young.
Yes.
So 3 hours is, I mean, it's tough. It's different than your 3 hours of Raw.
Yes.
Because it's broken up differently. But once it's 205 NXT, I think.
Yeah, you talk about a night of great wrestling, just pure wrestling.
It sucks for the Mae Young because it's that third hour.
Yeah.
You get the 10 to 11 slot.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't the best slot.
No.
You may think it's the best slot, but it's not the best slot.
No, it really isn't. So, those were the three of the things.
WWE's been cramming a lot of shit together, though, lately, huh?
They really have. I mean...
15 pay-per-views in a matter of 4 weeks?
The funny thing about that is, last year they did one every 2 weeks. Almost.
Yeah.
It was almost every 2 weeks.
It was before they went co-brand.
Yeah, and they did every 2 weeks, and everyone said, oh, well, it's too much. Then, so WWE, not because everyone said it was too much, but WWE, I guess they couldn't keep up. Yeah, of course.
No, because one was outperforming the other.
So they shrink it down.
Yeah.
So last year they had 16 pay-per-views in 12 months. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Now they took away some pay-per-views, and you think, going into this year, you think, well, okay, so now it's going to be more like normal. But no. You were fitting in a... Last year, you put on Greatest Royal Rumble, and then now you're doing
That was this year.
Well, I mean, beginning... Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, beginning of this year, you have the Greatest Royal Rumble. Then you have, now coming up, you have the Super Show.
Down Under.
Yeah, then you
I
have the...
I come from a land down under. I drive a Honda.
Evolution.
And I play with a blunder.
And then you have the one in Saudi, the Crown Jewel. So you're having extra ones anyway.
Yeah, you're just cramming them all within 3 weeks.
And they're not pay-per-views because they're live events.
They're network specials.
Just network specials. But you're still doing the same shit. It's the same things.
The end game is to get everyone to subscribe to the network, right?
Yeah.
So it just falls in line with the end game of trying to... This isn't the way to do it.
No. Because you're basically disguising it as, hey, this is something special that we weren't planning. Like, you know what I mean? It's just popping up. But you're still doing 16 pay-per-views.
Yeah. And you're losing even more of the quality because they're super shows. They're for the most part, they're kind of meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some that are going to lead to maybe more, but for the most part, it's just a big house show.
Yeah.
They should have just stuck within your house. In your house, down under.
Just as long as it's in your house, I'm down for anything. I miss In Your House a lot.
And that's exactly what this kind of is, just on a much larger scale, especially with the Super Show, because you got a venue that could easily fit almost 100, I think roughly like 102,000 people.
Whew, God.
Maybe a little bit more, maybe a little less, but 100,000 fucking people. And they want to sell this fucking thing out, and I think they might.
I think they will.
Last time they went there, they were a little more than half of that, like 56, 57,000. So you got to figure that was back in 2002. So
yeah,
16 years ago. I mean, product isn't. I mean, it's
the the wrestling is
it's
better.
It's evolved.
And the wrestling is definitely better than 2002.
But I want to go see the 2002 crew more than the...
In hindsight, you want to see the two... At 2002, were you thinking that? In 2002, it wasn't a great time to be a wrestling fan.
I figured it'd be like... It'd be like more robots fighting now. The year way down the road in 2018. They can all fly and they're robots. And we've cryogenically frozen Vince McMahon, so he's...
Just a head in a glass jar like on Futurama?
Yes.
Yeah. I think...
But they just cover his mouth every time he goes to say you're fired. Shh, 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 floating head Vince. Shh, calm down. Then they turn the lights out. Just a floating head in the dark.
Time with that greenish-blue glow. Yeah.
Time to go to sleep, little Vince head. Time to go to sleep. You're fired.
That's him talking in his sleep?
You're fired. It's him, like, fall, as he's falling asleep, trying to fire people. You're fired, fired, fired. No, not this time, Jim Ross. I don't want to get your barbecue sauce out of my face.
I completely forgot where the fuck where I was going to talk.
You're welcome. Now we can end the show, folks.
No idea. What we were talking about. Because all I have is Vince's floating head in my head. So, with that then, I'm going to go
that
to
there, they?
A question I put out on Twitter.
Okay.
And I've seen this. This is probably about when I saw it on Tuesday. It was, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 days old. But Stephanie was doing an interview, and they asked...
Stephanie who?
McMahon.
Ooh.
They asked Stephanie, what makes WWE so successful? And her response was, we are successful because we listen to our fans.
Hmm.
So I put out there, is this accurate or is it bullshit?
Hmm. I mean, you gave the options very clear.
Yes.
I wonder which one people liked more.
Yeah. Majority of everybody, actually, I don't see anyone saying that it's that it's legit, is saying bullshit.
Uh-oh. Dun, dun, dun.
I want to play devil's advocate here.
Not you. Not the devil of advocate.
I'm going to support Stephanie's line in this.
Okay.
And here's my logic behind it. Don't all jump down my throat at once.
Let's quote unquote listen to the logic.
Well, what her thinking is. Look, if I were to tell you back in 97, 98 that at some point you're going to be able to sit in your living room and watch 40 to 50 years of wrestling at your fingertips, no matter what the match was, every pay-per-view, all of Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, Nitro, ECW, NWA, Mid-South, you could do anything you want, watch anything you want, just by the click of your remote. You know what I mean? You'd go nuts as a kid to think about that.
I would think I'd probably need a bigger VCR at this point.
Yeah.
To hold all that content.
Exactly.
Like how will that fit all on one tape? They only record for 3 hours max.
But you look at stuff like the WWE Network. They're giving fans what they want. They're giving them options. You know what I mean? They're giving them these things. And no, I'm not talking about the actual in-ring product itself or the storyline, but they do give fans what they want a lot. I don't think WWE gets enough credit for that. The things like a Daniel Bryan push because they listen to the fans. There are what do you think signing guys...
Wasn't that also a CM Punk walkout, though?
Well, I mean...
They were kind of forced their hand? That were
I can't say that for... I mean, we can't say that for sure that's why they did it, but...
That wasn't the initial thought process behind
No, it wasn't.
But they're going to tell you that is because the fans were chanting so much that we decided that because the fans were chanting, they had a completely different story.
Yeah.
They just... That fell to them, and it ended up working out.
Exactly. But, I mean, there's been so many things that WWE has done to just listen to what the fans want. I mean, Daniel Bryan's like that, but the option of the network is the biggest thing. And if you're, whether you think you're not a mark or you are a mark, you're proud to be one, there is nothing like the WWE Network if you just like wrestling a little bit, even if it's just one era. even if it's just the 80s or the Attitude Era or whatever. It's just the options that they have opened up just for wrestling alone is amazing and ridiculous. And I think it's a little hypocritical for people to say.
They just need they need a search button. You need to be able to search.
You can search on the network.
Can you?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I never search.
No. Well, yeah, because you get sucked into the hole right away as soon as you turn it on.
Yep. The black hole of the network.
But I mean, yeah, I don't think they get enough credit. They get all the bitching and complaining. And yes, for all that WWE does wrong, don't forget there's a reason that we bitch and talk about it and watch it. It's because we want to feel like we felt like when we were a kid and we believe that Stone Cold was trying to run Vince McMahon over with a Zamboni and stuff like that.
That's the thing. They do that sometimes today, and it's just that you'll get, because you get us, our age people, they, oh, that could never happen. But, yeah, the whole Attitude Era should have never happened.
You had your guy drive a concrete truck into the stadium to pour into the CEO of the company's Corvette.
I'll do you one better.
Okay.
Someone's dick got chopped off by a samurai sword. Come on.
No, I mean, they didn't chop his dick off. They almost did, but then the lights went out, and he was safe.
And then you assume that they chopped his penis off.
Well, yeah.
The idea of chopping someone's penis... Let me rephrase that for you. There was the notion that someone was going to chop someone's dick off with a sword.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that could happen, but someone couldn't throw a fucking grappling hook and tear down a fucking stage set?
Great spot, by the way. I love that spot.
It's just, I mean,
you can't be hypocritical about it. That's the biggest thing.
There are still parts that are like, that do need to be better. But there was like that back then, too. You just focus on what you know, what was popular.
Yeah.
There were a lot of bad promos and spots down in fucking the Attitude Era, too.
It's easy to look at the Attitude Era in rose-colored glasses because it's done. It's what you grew up on. It's
If you did. If you were a teenager in that era, you that was your era.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just... We're going to look at now in another 10, 15 years and say, man, look how spoiled we were with action. Look how spoiled we were with talent.
And people that are older than us will say that the era before them, the Backlunds, the Andre the Giant, Hogan, Savage,
San Martino.
Yeah, that was the greatest. Oh, that was just pure wrestling, and there was no bullshit or nothing. That was just it. Pure wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kind of. Hogan was the era of...
the gimmicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. The big, bright...
Yeah, so you get the 60s, 70s guys, like my dad.
Yeah.
Who are... NWA,
mm-hmm.
Then you get that next generation of like
the WWF,
the 80s,
yeah,
the WWF,
yeah. Then
you get the Attitude Era
and WCCW, I think it was,
yeah, and then WCW,
yeah,
which is the Attitude Era,
yeah,
and then well, the meat of it at least,
mm-hmm.
Then you got the 2000s, early 2000s were,
and see that's the thing, you the way you talked about the 2000s, you talk about it with a smile because you look back at it now and you see how... Oh, geez. I'm getting too excited. I'm sorry.
Well, just stop moving the fucking mic.
You see how much fun it was and how the matches themselves and who were in them. And it was a stacked card when you really look.
In the early 2000s.
Yes.
But then you get to the mid-2000s, then that it just transitioned... Then you get to 2000s, but you can't lump them all together.
No.
Because like 07, 08, 09, to like 2011,
mm-hmm.
wasn't that great. I'll put this era up right now against that one
any
day of the week, where your top guys were, well, Cena, Punk, mm-hmm. Alberto Del Rio, Sheamus, and Orton.
Yeah.
Edge was just out at that point.
Yes, yeah, Edge had left at that point, yeah.
And Mysterio was almost on his way out as well,
mm-hmm.
or he was gone.
Yeah.
That era wasn't that... I kind of fell off, I'm going to be honest, in part of that era.
Yeah, I can't really... I don't think I did. I'm trying to remember. I don't think I did. But it definitely wasn't that good. It really wasn't.
So, this era does stack up against some of the other ones.
Yeah, absolutely it
does.
In
a pure... It's the best wrestling there's ever been.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, just the styles alone are absolutely ridiculous. And the things that people can pull off, that you're still, they're still innovating and still doing these new things that not many people have seen. You know what I mean? It really stacks up.
You just don't get those over-the-top memorable feuds like you got back in the day. Like, you don't get this bam, bam, because you're getting... Everyone's so focused on how many times they've seen it. Like, they forget that you've seen Edge and The Undertaker how many times?
A thousand times when they were, you know what I mean?
Rock Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Michaels. You've seen all them so many times, but it tweaked a little bit.
Well, look at...
And the buzz and the and everything was just so much bigger.
Yeah, but you had... There was so many of them that people look back now and they think, oh, it was so great, but JBL and Cena, they fought forever.
Yeah.
Like, 6 months they fought. You know, continuous. So, like, there is always those kinds of storylines, even back on the really good ones.
And it was bad, but you just didn't hear it from everyone because there wasn't these juggernaut fucking social media sites that everyone can be heard.
Exactly.
Like, you would have heard it.
Yeah.
How many times? Like, Batista...
Mm-hmm.
First Cena, or I mean,
yeah, Batista Cena. That's another one that was outplayed a lot.
Batista Orton,
yeah,
Orton Cena for
Jesus,
that was then. I feel like years. Anytime that they were on in the
and they could always revisit it.
Yeah,
they always did.
Anytime they were in the like, they came back at the same time. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
The shit they fought for the unified title.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot that has gone down, and it's funny how far we've come, but that's what I said with this episode.
It's funny how far we're off doing. Topic we fucking are.
Yeah, but that's what I said we were doing to this episode. We started out with why Stephanie and WWE has given us a lot more than people give them credit for because they listen to their fans.
Oh.
And that's where we started. We ended up all
the
way about
Aaron.
We were talking about the errors and...
We got lost.
Yeah, we got way lost.
We took too many wrong turns on that one.
Well, that's what I just wanted to do with this episode, is just keep going all over the place. Talk about everything that just pops into our head.
We come from a land down under.
Well, yeah, we're singing like that. So, let me throw this out there as well. We put this out there on Twitter and said, if you don't enjoy Raw, how would you book it?
I was just saying that because the... overwhelming majority seem to not like the ending to Hell in a Cell and then not like Raw the next day because it was dominated by the same names that have been dominating it, and there really wasn't anything significant that came out of it. And I think that's, if you're not going to do like 2 good hours of actual wrestling, like, you're going to get those people that or a lot of people that are like, well, I don't want to sit through this same thing over and over again, these bad skits, and you get no wrestling.
Yeah, that I mean, I think that's the biggest problem, especially when you said like repeated matches or feuds. The Corbin Balor feud, it's just,
where the hell is Balor?
I'm kind of glad to be honest. Like, because I don't want to see Balor Corbin.
I don't want to see Balor Finn anymore. Get the Balor Finn out of here.
Balor Corbin anymore. I'm done.
Oh, Balor Corbin. Balor Corbin.
Excuse me. But yeah, I hope
that seems to be
that they don't pick that back up.
That seems to be the Raw downfall, is that you have so much there that, and you have 3 hours of time that you have to pick. You pick your spots. You have to. Everyone knows who's going to get on for the most time.
Yeah, I just don't.
It's the repetitiveness of every single week. It's the same thing.
I just don't think you need the Shield and Roman Reigns, and not just him, anybody, in 3 different segments. Your 4 or 5 different segments.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
In the back, you get them. You get these in, and then you get them out to start the show. Then you get them in the back again, and then they'll be doing something else where they'll be strategizing or they'll be talking shit, depending on which side you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end the show. Like, the last half hour of the show is that. You get, like, an hour and a half of just one thing on a 3-hour show. And then you try and cram and try and drum up interest in something that you're not even interested in.
Yeah.
You're not interested in this. You're just throwing it on TV just to give the fans what they want. See what I did there?
But I mean, and you have a guy that like the Undertaker, who's there to build a match, and you're just gonna kind of throw him in just to get him in, so you can get that done and promote it. When you're, you know, what I mean, you have the Shield.
I'm not even
hogging it.
I'm not even talking about the Undertaker and the Shawn Michaels and the Triple H feud, and now Kane. I'm talking about everybody else that they have
on the
roster.
No, I'm just saying that as an example. That's all. I'm just saying, just you have to throw things in because you're centering around one group or one person. You know what I mean?
If they're going to do that, and if they're going to go cut back to the back, and you're going to visit the Shield in the back or the Dogs of Thunder in the back.
Dogs of War.
I like Thunder better. Dogs of Thunder. Like, if you're going to keep, like, at least before you pan back or go visit them again, have two really good matches.
Yeah.
That are going to actually do something.
Yep. Yeah, and well thought
try
out.
Try and make it two-thirds wrestling, one-third bullshit.
Yeah.
And just make it quality bullshit.
Yeah, that's the thing. You gotta at least
make it
right.
Make it entertaining.
Yeah.
Bring back the goofiness, like the shit that Angle used to do. Yeah. Like, that shit was funny. Like, yes. You have character, like, Elias is perfect.
Yes.
Absolutely perfect. He comes out, he does his shtick. It could be looked at as the same thing every week, but he tweaks it, and he's that good at doing it, and he gets a fucking reaction that is like no one else on that roster,
mm-hmm.
besides maybe Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. He gets a reaction. So it's really, it's not, like, it doesn't really lead to anything, but he's really good each and every week. Like, that's part of the bullshit, the one-third that you need, and you have other characters back there.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of unused. That's the problem.
Some of them are better than others, but yeah. Just pick and choose your spots of how, and incorporate something different, something fun. Like, the shit when Strowman used to be terrorizing and fucking just start destroying things.
Flipping shit and
at least
and
that's
the
something.
Grappling hook. Yeah, I agree.
It's not bad. It might seem corny at times, but it's not bad. It's a lot better than fucking psych visits for Sasha and Bayley.
Exactly. That's the perfect example. But I mean, yeah, I enjoyed all the things Strowman. Did it eventually? You were basically just waiting for something to happen. Yeah. But they were still entertaining nonetheless.
You knew what was coming. You just didn't know what. And they upped it every time.
Yes.
Do that. That should be your fucking business motto.
Mm-hmm.
Outdo myself every week. You start really low right now, so you have an opportunity to outdo yourself next week.
Exactly. Excuse me.
And then you just keep putting on good shows. Oh, my goodness. Is it a recipe for success? Did I just
concept.
Cook them up something mean? Just gave him the old beef stew a success? Oh, yeah.
So, the next thing I wanted to talk about that you also put out there, you want people to be the booker.
Not the Booker T, but like the GM.
Yes. Your job is to draft an already signed talent from SmackDown, Raw, and NXT, who's the face of your brand and surrounding talent. You can't draft Roman, Styles, Becky, Ronda, and Champa.
And I ran out of characters. There's one more caveat to that.
Okay.
You have to make the three shows that you're taking from, you have to make sure that those three shows are still credible.
Yeah.
You're not taking the top talent.
Just to load your
show. Just to load your show. You're spreading wealth everywhere. You're keeping... That's why I said you can't have the top names on the brands. So you have to pick a top star, make them your face to start off, surround them with talent. That's why I gave them NXT, too, because it would almost be impossible to do.
You're right.
Then you'd have main event again. But at least if you bring some of the top talent, some of the unused top talent in NXT, you have a support.
Yes. Yeah, you'd have a solid brand.
Yeah, you have the walls to the house.
Yeah.
Now you need the roof and the appliances. And maybe some carpet flooring. Nah, I do hardwood. You need the hardwood flooring.
All right, so do you have... Because obviously this was already in your head. Obviously, that's why you asked it.
It just came up after the other question. I was like, oh, well, this is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see what people thought. I mean, some people depleted.
Yeah.
But some people mix and matched pretty well, and it was good. Like, I like taking Ruby Riott and bringing her to the new brand. Thursday night, whatever.
Okay.
I was really trying to come up with
something. I was going to say, you were really bad on that one. I'm surprised.
Yeah. Thursday night throwbacks.
Yeah.
Come out to
anyway.
All old team songs.
Well, that'd be all you.
Ladies
that would be totally
and
your show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Baron Corbin comes out to Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
That just would two gimmicks that do not go together.
Exactly. The Lone Barber.
But anyway, Ruby Riott.
I like Ruby Riott as the new women's face of that brand. Maybe
okay.
Not a face character, but
I can understand what
being
you're saying.
The woman's face.
Yeah.
And my male face, if I'm not depleting, like he's pretty much done everything he can do in NXT. So I think I would be probably Adam Cole.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't shock me at all.
It was either him or it was going to be Rollins.
Yeah.
But I think I would end up drafting Rollins as well, split up the Shield, let each and then I would bring Dean Ambrose to SmackDown and have them chase the top person. Like, you'd have an inaugural title. You'd have either, like, a Bedlam or a tournament or something.
Yeah.
You get your first champion. Adam Cole ends up winning the belt, holds the title. He's the face. Same thing with the women.
Mm-hmm.
Do, like, a over-the-top battle royal for the women's championship.
Okay.
Something like that. That's how I envision it.
Hmm. That's a pretty involved concept, too. That's a lot you have to think about.
That's a lot you have to think about because you can't deplete any brand. Like, you have to take the top people, keep them there, and give them their counterparts, too, so the other shows will succeed.
Okay.
So you take, like, the Kanellises.
Yeah.
You can have him. You can even take some of the... You can take the Rusev or the Cesaros. Bring them over. People that can use the change and won't be missed on that show, and you'll still get them on the third show.
Yeah.
But you'll get to actually see them where you want to see them.
Hmm.
Then you take the tag teams. I mean, the tag teams would be tough. There would probably be a show that wouldn't be... It would be Raw. Raw will just be singles. Women's and men's singles. No tag team. You'd actually be able to have a tag team to focus on.
I don't know if that would get boring.
Not if you did, like, a shake-up.
No, I'm saying, like, just... Well, you mean eventually do a shake-up if you do it that way?
Yeah, but you do something that's, like, scheduled. Like, you know you're performing until midpoint, and you do the shake-up. You do, like, 6 full months, and then do the shake-up.
Yeah.
Like, you know it's coming. You maybe just push it back a week or something like that.
Yeah, because if you're talking... I mean, I know Raw's tag division isn't, like, the greatest, but... I couldn't imagine watching Monday Night Raw and just seeing singles matches.
But you would cut it back to 2 hours.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's the allotted time. I'm just saying not seeing a tag match would be odd. And I don't know if it would get boring after a while.
You might be right. So you might have to somehow... It would be one of the two-hour shows doesn't have a tag division. Unless you brought more tag teams in from around the world. Which is always a possibility.
Yeah.
If you're going to add another show, which, I mean, how many people watch Main Event? How many people out there are watching Main Event? Like, how many people know that Mike Kanellis or Zack Ryder or Mojo Rawley or anyone, or Adam Rose?
Oh.
Why do I want to say Coco Beware?
No.
And I know that's wrong. No Way Jose.
Yes. I love how our word association for No Way Jose is Adam Rose.
Yeah.
Because I knew who you were talking about. I just couldn't get the name out of my head.
Coco Beware.
Yeah.
The Birdman.
Because that only makes sense.
That'd be the GM of the new show. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, man. I heard rumors of who is it going to be. It's going to be Billy Gunn. It's going to be fucking Shawn Michaels is going to come run the show. Our new GM is Coco Beware. He's just got a stuffed bird now on his shoulder.
Oh.
He died long ago.
Oh. That's depressing.
That's entertainment. You've already started off with some sort of fucked up entertainment value.
Oh, that is messed up.
So, I did like the one person that said bring back ECW and make ECW.
I read that, yes.
That I
and
do like
run it, and only run it,
run
through
it in Philly and
New York.
Yeah. Well, of course we'd like that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sure. Bring back ECW, but only run it in my hometown.
Yeah.
Duh. And that's a no-brainer.
The only other town they are is like an hour train ride up north. So yeah. Let's do that.
Just keep it like that, dude. Everyone else will enjoy it, too. Believe me, they'll enjoy it. They can watch it from their home. We'll just go there every week.
Oh, and you know what would be great with that, speaking of ECW? I would love to see that concept, the ECW concept, again, run in 2300 Arena and just do it like Lucha Underground does it, like a season. You know what I mean?
Like their own...
Their own little entity. Do Paul Heyman and all, and you can have the ECW originals, but then also building like a Sammy Callahan, and you know what I mean?
I think...
Building this.
WWE owns ECW.
No, I know that. But I'm just saying...
Do a series there.
Like that, yes. And do this series like the El Rey Network does Lucha.
Dreamer should do that.
Yes. And then you do a season, you build into it and all that, and it would just... And just do it in that... Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Like, no, I couldn't.
Being in that arena, we know if you pack that and it's a legit on-TV wrestling network, like, it'd be great.
Yeah, and you would get, I mean, like 1,000 people each week.
Mm-hmm.
Be tough. You'd have to run, like, tapings. Like, do...
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. So, like, they do that. That's why Pentagon's able to... Because
you can only pack it so many times. So you do, like, 4 tapings. You do it on, like, a Saturday.
Yeah.
Or a Sunday.
Yeah. Because, I mean, when Ring of Honor, when they go to places, they tape 4 episodes.
Yeah.
So you have 4
and
weeks.
They put on like a 3.5-hour event.
Yeah.
Nope. My stomach just growled.
Way to let everyone know that.
Watch out. I was talking about stew earlier. Got me all hungry.
So.
Cook it up a mean stew.
You all right? You're going to make it through the end?
Cook it up a mean stew.
Huh?
Huh?
Am I going to have to take this over and all of a sudden you go dark for a little bit?
I live in the darkness.
Okay.
I was born in the darkness.
I'm going to talk about the last question I put out. The darkness. And that was the You Deserve It chant.
Okay.
When does or what does validate a person and make them worthy of this chant? Like it making
this chant or any chant?
Well, no, because that depends. Right now, let's just say that you deserve a chant. What do you think a Miz winning the world title for the second time?
No, I think legitimately to earn this chant, you'd have to just save a child from a burning building. I think this is such a watered... Let me explain.
I didn't interrupt. Go ahead,
This is such a watered-down chant that I don't think anybody deserves it for anything that they do.
Okay.
I don't think that it's warranted anymore. You deserve it?
Yeah, because it's so overused.
It's so overused for everything. Do you deserve it? Like, they think they have to do something, like, actually heroic and then come to the ring and be like, you deserve... Like, an accolation, like an award. Like a key to the city.
Well, and the other thing is, I think that's... I don't know if it did start, but the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? They go out and they're standing there. They go and then the fans break out and you deserve it. That I think is probably
it's
the only validation.
You just got an award.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's why it fits there
for years and years of what you did.
Exactly.
Not 3 matches.
Exactly.
You put on like a half decent feud.
Yeah.
And you won the title.
Yeah.
Or you got a push. No.
Yeah. Okay. But, I mean, yeah, and that's what I think of. When I hear you deserve it, the only time you should be hearing you deserve is at the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? Or the Hall of Pain, yeah. Either one.
Now that we can clarify that.
Yeah. But with the You Deserve It chant, this one bothers me. And this is Nuclear Heat posted this up.
Those fuckers.
And it's both these guys.
They did that last night on NXT.
Yes. And I agree. I don't know who it was cause from the podcast.
Like, that's almost like, here are people. Here are people. They are persons.
Yes.
They are persons.
Well, never mind.
I know.
I'm not even going to go there.
You can.
Yeah.
I know what I said.
The both these guys thing bothers me. And they do it at indie events a lot, too. Like, when we're down at Chikara in Northeast, a lot of those chants because there's really good wrestling. So I mean, both these guys things, I think it's a cop out. Like, it's that'd be like a Ziggler and Rollins match. You know what I mean? Both these guys, of course. But you just gotta pick at that point.
I agree. I don't even understand the chant.
Yeah,
doesn't even make sense.
No. And then the other one is the "This is awesome" chant.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I actually, out of all three of these that you just mentioned, this one bothers me the least.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like the, all right, for instance, I think the one that instantly comes to my mind is in the ballroom up in New York when we went and saw ROH.
Tommy Dreamer
and Tommy Dreamer and Bubba Ray coming out. And standing up on the balcony
before the match even started. Those are actually, I like them better. The whole, that adds to the whole build to the match. You're getting a This Is Awesome chant before the match even starts.
Yes.
They were doing that for Cody and Nick Aldis.
Nick Aldis, yes.
Like, yeah. It was, that just shows you the atmosphere of you're getting this. Like, this, there hasn't, it's almost like the Rock Hogan feeling that you get.
Exactly.
And I got goosebumps by just saying that on my leg.
Yeah.
Almost that feeling, like it gives a different energy to the room before the match even starts.
Yeah, it's hard to explain what it, you know what I mean, what it does, but when you're there, you feel it.
Yeah.
I mean, being in that ballroom,
you know
that was ridiculous.
This is special.
Yes.
This is going to be special, and it's part of the crowd. The crowd is what's making it that way. The energy in the room is what's making it, now these guys feel it too. Like, these guys come out and they're like, holy shit, and they get the fucking, the goosebumps, and they get the
yes.
Well, readiness.
And now I'm thinking about it, the other one was, another one we had was at House of Hardcore, Tommy Dreamer. What we thought was the main event was a match with Tommy Dreamer, and I forget who it was.
It was Tommy Dreamer and Bubba Ray versus the Spirit Squad, and then the Hardys came out. And then it was
Yes, and we thought that was the main event.
Yeah.
And then
it was
when
the Hardys versus Dreamer and Bully Ray.
Yeah, but then after that match was over, Dreamer gets on the mic and says, "We have one more match for you."
And everyone was so drained at this point because the whole crowd was screaming delete.
Yes. Yeah. So, and what happens is Sammy Callahan comes out, followed by Pentagon Jr., and then the crowd realizes what's about to go down, and it's just one of the best matches second best match we've ever seen live. First, that's probably Gargano and CM.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted to clarify to make sure we were on the same page there.
We are.
But Pentagon, Sammy Callahan
tore the house down
in South Philly, and it was just a This Is Awesome chant.
Holy shit chant.
It was ridiculous.
You get a lot more of them on the indie scene, the holy shit chants. You get them like kind of, you could hear them in the WWE, but they turn the sound down on those.
Yeah. But I mean, it's spots like that where This Is Awesome, you know what I mean, really does affect it.
Yeah, you know, like, This Is Awesome. And if they're at the point of where everyone is chanting it, not just a few people, then,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So, next.
Okay. You're the...
I'm running it tonight.
You're the pilot on this magical journey that we're taking into the wonderful world of wrestling.
I guess, subject I have to talk about, considering how you always have to point it out that I am that big a fan.
I knew who it was before you even said it. Shawn Michaels.
Exactly. So
he's just a sexy boy. He's just my boy toy. He's Shawn Michaels.
You done?
Yep.
Okay. Now it's almost completely confirmed that he is coming out of retirement, and they're setting up to be the Brothers of Destruction against DX at the Crown Jewel. So, I don't want it. I don't want it. I changed my mind. I was so all in on this two weeks ago.
The biggest Shawn Michaels mark that I've ever seen
doesn't
want the match anymore.
No, because I don't want DX.
Explain to the public. Explain to those listening ears. Why not? Why don't you want to see Shawn Michaels in another match? You thrive and you live for the day that the Heartbreak Kid comes out of retirement and he gets there. He finally gets the match that he deserves, the match that he wants. And it gets taken all away and given a match with Shawn Michaels, with his best friend, Triple H, against the iconic duo of The Undertaker and Kane, the Brothers of Destruction. Oh my God, I can't believe it. It's going to happen. Doesn't want to see it.
No.
And Pray tell.
It's the simple reason is, I don't think it's worthy of a Shawn Michaels comeback. I think it does.
It's not good enough for the boy toy.
It does. Yeah, it does him no justice. I understand that it's something that makes him comfortable. That's why he's doing it.
It's not enough pizzazz for the sexy boy.
It's not a Shawn. I don't know.
It's not the single Shawn Michaels that you deep down inside that you're begging for.
I love how you're narrating this entire thing.
I'm sure the people are so thrilled about this too.
I want to see him come back versus Taker. I want to see him retire Taker.
I want.
Yeah, I do. I'm not ashamed to say that. But yeah, I don't. I love DX and okay, I love so Brother Destruction,
I'll play Peacemaker here. I'll bring it all back down. So he's back in the smile land.
Okay.
So they're saying that Shawn Michaels is coming out of retirement for one more time.
Yes.
They always give the fans what they want. Every single time.
Yeah, eventually.
Eventually. This is his out of retirement match, but it doesn't mean that he's going right back in right afterwards. They have something here. They know they do. They have something here. And the whole point for Vince has always been to get him to the point of where he's going to come out of retirement. Do you think that once he comes out that Vince isn't going to fucking strap the fucking hand down on the ball sack and try and get him to do one more big showstopper Shawn Michaels matchup where they can put the proper Triple H will be back there.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince loves this shit. He loves booking The Undertaker.
Yeah.
He loves booking Shawn Michaels. You can forget about every other fucking match, every other feud, every other possibility. This is going to be what they build for. This is going to be their WrestleMania moment.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they're going to put the most energy into.
I don't know. I read so many interviews with Michaels and him talking about how he would only feel comfortable if it was a tag match. It's the only way he was going to do that one match.
Yeah, feel comfortable to get back into the ring because if the spotlight's put on him his first time back, this is his warm-up.
I don't know. I hope you're right. I just don't see
He's going to get back in the ring. He's going to feel the fucking electricity running through and pulsating through his veins. It's a hard habit to kick.
Yeah, no, it is.
Once he lets it back in. Once he went out there and cut the promo for Triple H, and then Taker comes out. Well, before Taker even came out, the crowd was crazy for Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Then Taker comes out, and the place erupts. You're telling me that both of them didn't feel that, and if one more time is going to happen, it's going to be Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. No one else. Who are they grooming to do it? They should have ended it after Brock.
You're right.
They should have just ended it after Brock. That's it.
Yeah.
Because who are you grooming? Reigns already beat him, and that went over like a fart in church.
Yeah.
Who else is out there that's going to actually, they're going to give that to retire Taker? No one on the card right now. No one on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H could do it, but it doesn't have the same punch.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that would be it'd be the ultimate end.
The longest running Michaels streak in all of WrestleMania history is the Undertaker streak. It's got to be someone who's larger than life like him. No one else can do it. No one else can retire the Undertaker. If it's not going to be Brock, it's not going to be Bray, and it wasn't going to be Roman, who's it going to be?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I agree, and that was the ultimate storyline to me with that until I heard about this at Crown Jewel.
As big as Cena would have been if they would have kept that going, Shawn Michaels is bigger.
Yeah. Well, in that storyline, yes.
If you give fucking... Who the fuck's going to retire Cena then? If Cena retires The Undertaker?
Yeah.
Because now at least Michaels comes out of retirement. They both retire together and they go sip margaritas in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a great fucking show. Oh my God, that would be a great show. Michaels gets a job as a cabana boy because he needs the work. And they just get... It's like a buddy show. Come on, man. You're telling me you wouldn't fucking tune in every week to that?
I just would love to know what's going on in your head as we're talking and what you're going through before it comes out.
Like, dude, if people knew that, I wouldn't be here talking to you. I'd be in a fucking insane asylum. Welcome to the Joe Asylum. I don't pad the walls. I put barbed wire on them.
Okay, we good? Yeah. From the Shawn Michaels and Undertaker buddy comedy at the beach.
Oh my God, how good would that be? Now, all I'm picturing is fucking Undertaker with the stupid sunglasses on, but instead of wearing all black, he's got like a fucking bright orange Hawaiian shirt on.
I don't know what to say anymore. I just... I'm just completely lost at this point.
One of you loyal listeners out there, let me know what you think of the pitch. Do I bring it to Vince, or do I sit on my hands? I say I bring it to Vince.
I want to be in the room for that pitch.
Vince, I got it for you. Buddy cops.
Oh, now they're cops?
They could be.
Okay.
Actually.
Because that wasn't a part of the original plot.
Remember, what was it, Pacific Blue?
Uh-huh.
The bike cop fucking...
Mm-hmm.
We bring that back with Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker?
You're talking about Chips?
No. No, the bike cops.
Bicycle cops.
Yeah, bicycle cops.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, not Estrada. Eric Estrada.
I'm sorry. That's what you're talking about. How the fuck are we talking about this?
Really? You open Pandora's box.
Obviously.
Pandora's
out. I said I wanted to be all over the place this episode. I didn't think it was going to go that far.
You gave me full rein and you thought that I was... You said go all over the place and you didn't know what was going to happen? No shit.
I didn't think you were going to have The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels in a buddy cop movie.
Bicycle. No.
But there's a buddy...
It's going to be an episodic, not a movie.
Now, all right, now we've gone all the way.
Oh, no, little Timmy got robbed. Who's on the scene? Sean and fucking Mark. Shawnee and Mark are on the scene.
Mean Mark?
Yeah, Mean Mark. That's what happens when you piss him off. If you put something in his spokes.
He turns into Mean Mark?
Mean Mark.
That's awesome. Okay.
Are we going to bring it back somehow?
I want just a little bit, because we're a little bit off. Let's talk about something that I know will fire you up. Ricochet, Pete Dunne.
It was the best match I saw all year.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of great matches. Okay. The best WWE product match I saw all year.
Okay.
It didn't even have a finish. It was no decision. But it was that good of a match. This whole match told a story. And there was legitimate times in that match that I thought, holy shit, someone's actually going to win. Like, I thought going into it that it was going to be a no decision. Like, that's what the way I thought it was going to go. But they had me fooled in the middle of the match.
That you thought it was actually going to go.
I thought Pete Dunne had it at the very end. I thought Ricochet was going to tap it, and we were going to see Pete Dunne actually win the title. And actually, it was going to be a surprise to everyone.
Yeah.
And then I remembered that they're pre-taped, and people already knew that it was not going that way. Because that would have leaked.
Yes.
And then common sense came in.
Yeah.
And they said, wait a minute, I would have fucking knew about this by now.
Yeah, especially with wrestling Twitter, we definitely would have known about it. And you know what? That's the only thing that's unfortunate about today, because the second you're following as many wrestling, whether it's news or podcasts or whatever, you know instantly. Like, there is no, spoiler alert, don't look at this. Like, they're just over the place.
Guess what happened tonight.
Yeah. There's no more.
Or
now
to be in big bold letters, such and such, like, Ciampa. Ciampa
exactly.
Wins NXT title at taping.
Yeah, I mean, and you have the gif of it actually happening. Like, you just can't avoid it.
So what he's telling you is to unfollow all of us. Because that's essentially what he's getting at, is to unfollow us all so you don't ever have to hear the spoilers.
No, that's not it at all. It's just, I miss the days of...
Of yore.
Of, yeah, of, no, of not being able to know.
The wonderful days of so kayfabe. Easily. Oh, kayfabe, how I knew you once before as a young lad. You never let me down, did you?
But you can't.
And then you grew up.
You
became a rotten child. And you gave away all the news before it actually happened. Rotten kayfabe. Old man kayfabe. Oh, I remember the times you were a young lad and you had us fooled. You liked to play imaginary with us. Then you got old and mean. You like to tell everybody what's going to happen. You're a mean man, Mr. Kayfabe. You're a mean man. Done.
Okay, thanks.
End scene.
I don't know where the fuck we just went.
I'm trying to keep it light.
It's a
fluff piece.
Oh, thanks. I couldn't tell from...
Sometimes that it gets mundane.
Whatever that is. I don't know what that was.
Sometimes you live in the mundane. And you gotta spice it up a little bit.
So, what I was saying is, and I didn't forget.
Okay.
I didn't forget. You can't tell me that wrestling wouldn't be that much better if we didn't know as much as we do.
Element of surprise is lacking big time.
Yes.
Yes. I will give you that.
It's just the Hardy Boys. As much as we knew that they were going to come out, we didn't know they were going to come out. That was the biggest thing.
I was doubting it the whole time until I heard the music.
Yes.
But here's the thing. In a day like today, if you do get surprised, it's usually that much better.
Yes.
So if the element surprised, it's just fewer and far between now.
Yeah.
But if they are able, anyone, if anyone's able to keep the element of surprise to themselves, then it just makes it that much more special.
And I think no matter how it ends or how many people bitch about it, that's why the Royal Rumble is so loved, no matter what.
You still get the, oh, such and such is backstage.
Yes.
You still get those, but I'll give you that. The Royal Rumble, sometimes WrestleMania has its surprises that aren't as leaked.
Yeah. But there's something about the Royal Rumble because of that, and of knowing there's going to be a surprise.
And that's the big problem with today that you'll get at the end of pay-per-views, because we've grown so accustomed to that. Like, something's got to happen here. Like, mm-hmm. This is WWE. Something's got to happen. And then it doesn't happen, and then you get the big letdown.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Nothing happened. Nothing cool happened. Like, you're...
Hence Hell in a Cell after Brock attacks both guys.
I actually thought that was a surprise. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, but... I think most people thought, okay, he's going to attack them both. They're on even. Who's going to win? No one thought the match was going to be over.
Yeah.
Because a Hell in a Cell has to end with a pinfall or submission. You know, it can't end any other way. There has to be a winner. That's the point of Hell in a Cell.
Unless you're throwing the rule book out and you're just booking it fucking by the seat of your pants.
Like, that's the only problem with that was... That's why the ending, everyone was so bad, because they thought it was something else was
something
coming.
Had to happen.
It should have been a match.
You're so accustomed to that something has to happen. There has to be some sort of closure.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be open-ended or it's bad.
Yeah.
Like, you got the element of surprise, but the ending was still bad.
Yeah, well, because the match that has to be decided was never decided. You know what I mean? It makes no sense. That's the only thing I don't like, is when you do things like that you would have never done before, but yet you're still going to do it. You're still going to book a match and an ending of a match like that. It just doesn't make any sense.
I get it, but, I mean, going towards the element of surprise, you just see... it's the whole what we've grown accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
We love the element of surprise. Like, yeah. That's what the WWF era was made for. There's got to be something that happens. Something cool is going to end this show. And it doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah.
And that's where you get the backlash. Is from the, oh, this didn't happen. Oh, we wanted this to go this way.
And now you have a lot of people getting on Twitter and bitching
Keyboard
and complaining.
Warriors.
Yep. So with Hell in a Cell just passing, and a certain anniversary of a Hell in a Cell just passing, I don't know if... how many people have watched it, but the Hell in a Cell special that Mick Foley did, the stand-up of him talking about the 20th anniversary of it, if you haven't seen it, man, it's good. You have to watch it. The just the backstage stuff that no one gets to ever see, and it's revisited and retold, and he talks about Terry Funk helping him decide for the match, what to do, stuff like that. Because Funk is the one who said, why don't you have Taker throw you off? I mean, of course Terry Funk came up with
it's
that.
It's not me.
Yeah.
Throw him the fuck off.
Yeah.
What are you going to do in the match? I'm going to do nothing.
Yeah. I'll come out when you're hurt. How about that?
Just get thrown off.
Yeah.
Just go, take a little dive. You take a little dive? Gotta go take a little dive? Are you? You gonna tippy toe off the old cage, are you? Are you? You're just gonna take a little dive. Yeah, you right through the table.
So, yeah, I can't follow that up. Anyway, after watching this Mick Foley special,
he's so thrown off right now.
I went back and I watched the actual match. And looking for everything he was talking about. And it just makes the match that much better. And we've talked about the anatomy of a match segments on Edge and Christian. And they did Mind Games and they did Heart and Stone Cold for the Survivor Series, right?
Yes.
And they did those two. And then after listening to their shows, you had to go back and you had to watch and see stuff that Mankind and Shawn were talking about at Mind Games, and see what Bretton and Austin talked about. It was just it's great to be able to hear the people talk about it.
Because you can see it playing out as you watch it.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, oh, now I understand.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing of Shawn Michaels being an asshole in the ring, to like how he was with Vader and stuff like that, they literally built that into the story of the match. He makes sure Shawn yells at him in the match to just further the heat of Shawn Michaels with Mankind. Like, it's things like that that you don't know that you thought, oh, Shawn, that's Shawn being Shawn. He's being an asshole and he's going off, you know what I mean, on Foley because he did something wrong.
Yeah, it gets Foley the love and it gets Michaels the heat. I mean, it's a brilliant move.
Exactly.
It's a lost art.
But, I mean, and Mankind...
Because everyone's friends. No one has real beef.
No.
No one has real beef anymore.
I'm sure there's beef between them as...
Yeah, but they don't... They will, they
not
won't,
in a storyline thing.
They won't and, dare yeah. bring it to the public anymore.
No, you're not
Vince
getting...
Vince was so good at that. He was so good at that.
Edge and Matt Hardy.
Yes, that was brilliant.
I mean, you couldn't get any better than that. That storyline was amazing.
It was great, and he milked it, and he knew what he was doing. Sasha's got to have beef with someone back there.
Yes.
Bring that out.
Yeah.
Bring that out.
Yeah, have the two people shake hands. This as long is professionals.
As, long, and... as long as they're not pissed off at fucking at Vince, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, although that would be a fucking great fucking angle, too.
Yeah, it would. To have Vince McMahon Mr. McMahon come out. That'd be great.
No, but Vince is old. But, yeah. I mean, that's an easy way to... I mean, make it up.
Yeah.
Make it sound like they have beef. Put it out there for the fucking... the keyboard warriors to fucking eat up on. Oh, this person doesn't like it. Have them actually beef. Like, make it feel like legitimate. You have so many resources now to do that. Like, you don't have to go on AOL Instant Messenger and go into a chat room.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could do it. You could even do it on Total Divas.
And it would actually look... Yeah. Like, well, I'm not just talking about for the women. I'm talking about for anyone.
No, I know what you mean. I'm just saying, like, you could plant something in the background of Total Divas. You know what I mean? And very subtly. And then just leak it out there.
Yeah, there's so many resources to use. I mean, it could... it would generate more interest. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't actually wait to tune in and see what the hell they're going to do to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
But now it's such a PG era that no one can actually dislike each other. No meanness.
No, not at all.
They need that.
No, they need the edge. They need a little bit. You can still be PG and have an edge. Like,
absolutely.
You can. They just don't.
And it doesn't have to be a corny edge.
Yeah. So I think that's as good as anywhere to wrap up for this week's podcast.
I think it's a pretty good time.
Yeah. All over the place, legitimately.
We did what we do
best. Over the place, yes.
We do it really well. Yeah. Why stray from what we do well? Why try and be something that we're not? These hoity-toity podcasts that are out there. Why try to be someone like them? When we're all over the place, we're fucking running on fucking full steam. We turn the fucking amplifier up to 11. We get in here. We do the job the best in the world. And I'm not just saying that. I believe it in my old noggin. The best in the world.
All right. Well said. So we hope you enjoyed our show this week. If you don't follow us on Twitter at 215 Wrestling.
Hey, and stop unfollowing us, goddammit. Spread the love. Stop unfollowing us. It's easy to. If we don't follow you, we're sorry. But follow us. What the fuck? We're cool. We're interesting. We're hip. That's what the kids are talking about these days. Did you guys hear the Brotherly Love Wrestling podcast? It's fucking a mouthful to say, but sure is it good to hear. All the kids. That's what they still say, right?
I'm not.
They say shindig, right?
No comment. No.
Are you going to the Box Social this weekend? That's what the kids are saying.
No, they're not.
No?
No.
I got no fucking clue what those kids are saying.
You're done. Nope. So, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Everybody, have a good week.
Later!